Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles while you're sitting down and turn to Acts and chapter 11. Acts and chapter 11. Be seated here for just a moment, and then I'm going to read in just a moment. It's a beautiful Upper morning, fresh snow, fresh air. And let's pray for a fresh anointing of God upon this place this morning. That's what we need. Man, I feel so inadequate. Sometimes you get in the pulpit and you feel inadequate. I've spent some time with God this morning. You know, I've been in His presence this morning. And I actually verbalized this already. God, I need you, man. I need anointing because I am so totally inadequate. There's no way I can tell you how good God is. There's no way I can tell you how big the gospel is. There's no way I can tell you how much the devil hates you and how the culture is counter God. There's no way I can emphasize that enough. So we need God the Holy Spirit to take over this morning and to do what needs to be done right here in our midst. Why don't you stand now that you're seated and comfortable? And let me read just a couple of verses. Everybody standing. Verse 19 of chapter 11. And this said that I preached chapter 11 earlier in the summer. I want to hit something different here this morning and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenice, so that's Lebanon, and Cyprus, that's an island, and Antioch, third largest city in the Roman Empire, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Father, we come to you this morning, and I pray that you'd get a hold of all of our hearts, all of our attention. May our worship be right, our pitiful attempt at honoring you. God, you're so much bigger than what we're able to. You deserve so much more than what we're able to give. But God, we pray this morning that you would enlighten us to the Word of God, that you would take the holy, inspired Word of God and speak to our hearts. Turn the light on this morning, Father. Help us to understand the battle and how we're supposed to be living. And Lord God, again, if there's someone here not born again, we pray for their salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Antioch is the cosmopolitan city, the third largest city in the Roman Empire. It was at Antioch where believers were first called Christians. And I want to kind of belabor that just a little bit this morning. I struggled with what God wanted me to preach, and I think I know where it's at this morning, and I trust that God will lead throughout the message. I've got notes in front of me, but you understand, it's not about the notes. It's not about what I've prepared. And if you don't prepare, you're a fool. But if you're limited to your notes, you're not much of a preacher either. I'm asking God, the Holy Spirit, to take over and to speak to all of our hearts this morning. Let's get all that God has for us today. Hey, you may not like it, but you're stuck here for about another 35 or 40 minutes. So you might just well get something out of it, right? You might just want to enjoy it. Maybe you're a visitor and you're thinking, what is that guy talking about up there? What time is we're leaving for lunch? You know what? You're here anyway. Why don't you open your heart to the truth and let God do a work in your life? He'll do that if you, just like the holidays. I want to get everything I can out of them. I had turkey 4 times this week with all of the sides and all of the trimmings. I feel like I'm a little lethargic this morning. Just a little. Maybe that's why I feel so inadequate. Maybe I OD'd on whatever that chemical is on turkey. I don't know. And I got up this morning. I left before Debbie was, she just got up and started getting around. And I looked, and you know what we're having for lunch today? Turkey. So it's going to be turkey number 5. And we're just getting started in the holidays. But that's okay. You know what? I like turkey so far. I might get tired of it. But you know, you're going to be here this morning. Let's get all we can, all that God would have for us. There's a lot of misconceptions about New Testament Christianity. There are a lot of misgivings. There are a lot of people that misunderstand, and they have a lot of wrong-headed ideas about New Testament Christianity. I want to preach about New Testament Christianity today. It's my prayer this morning that I will be able to convey to you out of this passage and maybe a couple of others the marks of New Testament Christianity. What distinguishes New Testament Christianity from all the other religions of the world? Because they're not all alike. There's only one true God. There's only one way to that one true God. Amen. And when I say New Testament Christianity, man, I'm talking about getting born again and getting hooked up with the Word of God. Look again at Acts in chapter 11. Now, here's the deal. Transition has taken place in the book of Acts. If you're a Bible student, this would be a good rehearse. This would be a good remember. If I rehearse this just a little bit, it'll help you to remember things. And maybe you've never heard this before. But up until Acts in chapter 10 and long about there, that's where the transition takes place. The book of Acts is a transition book in the New Testament. It's going from the Jews to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what is going on in chapter 10 and chapter 11. And then the Apostle Paul kind of takes the place of the Apostle Peter. And he becomes the upfront guy. And he goes to the Gentile world and he preaches the gospel everywhere. Remember the church. Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's where it starts, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jew and Gentile being one in the church of Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. And what happens here is Peter has received this vision. He's gone to Cornelius. He's preached the gospel. He's seen Gentiles get saved. He goes back to Jerusalem. He gives a report to the believers at Jerusalem and the church leadership there in Jerusalem. And they say, well, man, it's definitely of God. Preach the gospel to everybody. And then we pick up with verse 11, or verse 19. Now, they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. And by the way, persecution, the more the devil fought, the stronger the church got. The more the church, New Testament Christians, were persecuted, the bigger the church got. I believe that what we need in the 21st century, and I'm not looking for trouble, but we need persecution. Just to purify our lives. Just to cause us to go back to God and lean on God again. For America to turn back to God again. It says in verse 19, now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. They traveled as far as Phenis, and again, that's Lebanon, and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. They believed, that is saving faith, turning, that is repentance. Many heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they believed, they repented of their sin, and they got saved. Boom, the church starts to grow. Great things are happening in Antioch. I mean, and there's a hunger, and there is a thirst for the word of God. Believe that you can equate that with the term born again. You must be born before you live. That's something that the dusty theologian doesn't understand. You've got to be born again before you can live the New Testament Christian life. Until you're born, there is no life. That's why Jesus said, ye must be born again. And I'll not belabor it, but let me just simply say this. There are a lot of people that have gotten saved and they've never gone to a good church. They've never opened their Bible the way they ought. They got sucked back into the world. And so they're babes in Christ. But in their heart, they called out upon God and they got saved. They got born again. And we're going to be surprised at who's in heaven. Because again, there's no magic word to getting saved. There's no secret prayer or secret handshake. All you got to do is with your heart know you're a sinner and call out to God and ask God for forgiveness of sins. And you're born into the family of God. And on the other side of that same equation, there are a lot of people that have all the trappings of a New Testament Christian. And they know all the lingo. And they were raised in a quote-unquote Christian home, but there's never been that heart time with God, and they have never been born again. And they're going to be surprised when their life is ended, they end up in the fires of hell. They look like they're the Christians. They look like maybe they're not born again. What they truly are is babes in Christ. So there's all kinds of misunderstandings. By the way, if you're here this morning, you're watching live stream this morning, and there's never been a time or a place where you repented of your sin knowing that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world, the only Savior of sinners. He's the friend of sinners. He's the one that died on Calvary. He's the one that shed his blood for mankind. If there's never been a time, a place where you ask Jesus for forgiveness of sins, not the church, Jesus, not religion, Jesus, and received him into your heart and life knowing that you were in desperate need of the Savior, if there's never been that time, you have never been born into God's family. You might have a lot of Bible verses memorized, but you have never been born into God's family. Oh, make sure you're saved. Now that's what was going on in Antioch. That is the foundation of New Testament Christianity. You can't be a New Testament Christian until you're born again. It says in verse 20, 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He had seen it in the lives of the New Testament Christians. Let me skip ahead, read several verses, and then I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. And was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, that they would continue. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. He's not Paul yet. He's still going by the name of Saul, a brand new Christian, a brand new child of God, got a lot of Bible background. He knows the Old Testament and he's putting it all together. Verse 26 says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled, key word assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The word Christian is an earned title. Not all believers are Christians, but all Christians are believers. It's like it's another step. You get born again, you're a believer. Christian is an earned title. It literally means little Christs. In other words, the people that were not born again in Antioch and Cyprus and all over the world, when they saw and they witnessed the lifestyle of a born-again believer, they said, they're just like Jesus. I've never seen Jesus, but I heard about him. They are just like Jesus. They were representing Jesus Christ in the city of Antioch. And the unbelievers said, they are Christians. They are little Christ. Let me ask you this. What are you known for? I don't mean your reputation. That's about you. How about you get a testimony? That's about Jesus. What do people think of when your name comes into the conversation and you're not present? They think of someone that's a gossip, someone that's a divider, someone that is very selfish. They think of someone that is me first. What do they think of? You know what? If you're right with God and you're growing in grace, they ought to think of Jesus. They ought to think we represent heaven on this earth. Paul said to the church of Corinth, we're ambassadors of Christ. We represent God. We are that city that is set on a hill that Jesus spoke of, that everybody can see. If we are not, and we do a poor job of representing Jesus. I'm telling you from top to bottom, we do a poor job of representing the homeland, being an ambassador of heaven, representing heaven here on this earth. And that's what the New Testament church is supposed to be, a little slice, a little piece of heaven here in this world. And that's what the New Testament believer is supposed to be, little Christs. You know, we are to heaven what the moon is to the sun. We reflect the light of Jesus. What kind of job are you doing? That's a very probing question. As a preacher, man, what kind of job am I doing? Am I doing a good job of representing heaven? And by the way, don't take any of the glory for yourself. That is a mistake. When someone compliments you and says, man, you're different. Man, you know, you're a great guy. You say, no, I'm not a great guy. That's the whole point. It's Jesus that is great. He's a great God, and he's forgiven me. And this isn't the way I always was. God, I'm a new man now. I'm a new woman now. You make sure you played a great game. No, really? Give the glory to God because he allowed me to do that. Don't you take it upon yourself. You're setting up idols when you do that. Let's be Christian. Let's be little Christs. You know what Chippewa County needs? A church that has a whole bunch of little Christs that reflect the light of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Man, and he's commissioned us, and he's mandated us, and we're to represent heaven while we're here on this earth. Number one, you got to get born again. You got to be born before you live. It's profound. It's more profound than it initially sounds. Number two, you got to have a big Bible. It is foundational. Otherwise, you'll stay that babe in Christ. You've got to be Bible. This ministry needs to be Bible-centric. It needs to be all about the Word of God. Go to Acts chapter 17. Acts in chapter 17, a few more chapters away. Look at verse 11. Verse 10 says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. They went there to preach. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. All kinds of people got saved because they searched the scriptures daily. They had a readiness of mind. They were hungry for the truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And by the way, you get a little bit of studying in you, don't ever think you're smarter than God. Now, don't go there. But the more you study the word of God as a child of God, God is going to show you his mercy. He's going to show you his grace. You're going to be humbled. You're going to grow in grace, and you're going to grow in mercy, and you're going to become more and more like Jesus Christ. But you've got to have a big Bible. You've got to be Bible-based. You've got to be that person that's, you've got the engrafted, James said, the engrafted word of God. It's from the outside, and I'm making it a very part of my being. That's what happens when you're a Bible student. Don't get caught up in false science. Don't get caught up in false doctrine. There are people with climate change theology, and they worship the climate god. Everything's vaccination this and vaccination that. Here, I'll tell you this. I have something that I can share with you that will inoculate you from the culture in which we live. It's the Bible. You need to get a vaccine every morning. Every morning. And then you need a booster 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now and that'll build you in the faith. And then you'll be able to repel those works of darkness that come your way. They were called Christians, number one, because they were born again. That's gotta be. Number two, because they followed the doctrines of the Word of God. They had an anchor, they had a rock that inoculated them from the culture in which they lived. There are many fallen men and evil philosophies. It is everywhere and it is in every direction. There's only one thing that's going to keep you sane, the Word of God. You got to get in the book. And I challenge you better be reading more Bible than you are watching news or reading the news. That's where it's at. Otherwise, you will be infected. You will be impacted. I'm telling you. Another thing they had is they had great joy. Look what it says in verse 26. And when they had found him, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. By the way, they assembled with the church. For a whole year. It was all about Bible. It was all about getting together. And they had a bubbling joy that was unbelievable. If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have a joy of God that the world will never understand. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not afraid of the boogeyman. I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf. I've got the God of heaven. I'm on his side. Man, he is my savior. He is my God. And this life that I'm living is the pilgrimage that God has ordained for me. I'm going to try to be safe, and I'm not going to try to be stupid, but I'm not going to be fearful of life. So many people are afraid of dying. I'm thinking, what kind of Christianity is that? Again, there's no death wish. That's not it. We talked about that in Sunday school. I'm not going to step in front of a bullet on purpose. I mean, you know, unless it's to save somebody's life. And that's questionable too. You know, that takes a great love. That takes a great love. But the fact is, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Yeah. It only gets better. And their joy that they had, it was real. Wasn't a wet blanket. A lot of Christians have this kind of Christianity. They look like they just fell out of the back of a hearse. Yeah. That's what they look like. You go into the churches, I've been in many churches, I've been around. You go into all kinds of churches and it's like, it's a funeral service. And don't talk loud, you might wake somebody up. You know, and you just kind of, and then the guy gets up and he shares something and I have a hard time following him and I don't think he knows, I don't think he believes what he's sharing and he doesn't give any answers to life. And that's a very sad thing, it really is. But when we have Christ, we've got this joy that is, I said something last week and I don't know where I read it. I know I didn't think of it, but I thought, wow, that's pretty good. It just kind of spills out. When you read a lot, those kinds of things happen. The concert pitch for New Testament Christianity is praise. Anything different, you're out of tune. God has not called you to be a wet blanket in the work of God. We all know about body language, right? Every football coach, every ball team knows about body language. Things are going wrong. You've got to have good body language as a leader, as a coach on the sideline, and as a quarterback in the huddle, or as the inside linebacker, whoever the captain is of the defense. You got to look, because that body language spreads. You watch ball games and things start going wrong. You look at the sideline, you can, at the body language, you know who the leaders are and who the leaders aren't. And sometimes we have bad body language. I understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be weird here. We have bad body language in the family of God. We look like we're a step away from death and we're ready to die. We look like there's no God in heaven that's in control. We look like, man, how did this ever happen? This was an accident. You know, and just bad body language. Man, you ought to bring the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus Christ. We read about that in Sunday school this morning. That light, that treasure in an earthen vessel, you ought to bring it into every room you've got, every room you enter into. You ought to, the concert pitch is praise. Not foolish little girl giggling, but praise. The joy of God. That which is real, even in the valley. That must be a Christian. A little Christ. That's the way Jesus reacted. That's amazing. Born again, big Bible, bubbling joy. How about this? How about brotherly love? It has got to be real. It is the number one mark, distinguishing characteristic of New Testament Christianity. Number one. See, how do you know that? Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 35. It is so out of step with the world. It is so opposite of the flesh. We ought to be known by this love. Henry Drummond, Scottish evangelist and writer from days gone by, said the greatest thing in the world, 1 Corinthians 13, agape love. The greatest thing in the world. We're not to be known by our King James Bibles. We're not to be known by how many scriptures we have committed to memory. We ought to be known by our love. Our love for our Savior and our love for God and our love for our brethren. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's not about who has the most money. There are a lot of cults that got all kinds of money. It's not about who has the most things. It's about your love one for another. That can't be faked. That is the number one characteristic of a New Testament Christian. The marks of New Testament Christianity. So let's clear some things up this morning. A lot of misgivings. What's a New Testament Christian look like? Number one, they're born. They're born again into the family of God. Number two, they are Bible-based. They are Bible thumpers. They study. They're students. We have a call of God to be a student of the Word of God. Shame on you if you don't study the Bible. Shame on you if you're not at least reading your Bible every single day. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You aren't even going to know God without knowing your Bible. Number three, they have a joy, a bubbling over joy. Their cup runs over. It's there all of the time, even in difficult, even with tears. That joy is there. There's a brotherly love that is real, and it overwhelms everything else that happens in life. A New Testament Christian is a, go back to Acts in chapter 11 again, is a forgiving person. That's part of that brotherly love. Look what it says in verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem. You see, everything didn't always go right. So in the middle of this and all that's going on in Antioch, a prophet comes from Jerusalem and says, there's a famine coming. It's going to be terrible. And the born-again believers, the Christians in Antioch, send an offering to the church of Jerusalem. There stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief and unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Every man, this is a New Testament church, every man determined to send relief, a love offering, to the brethren, that's that brotherly love, that were in the church of Jerusalem. That was the big church. Antioch was the new church. But Antioch was the place where people said, they are little Christs. They are just like Jesus. They had a bold lifestyle that was counterculture. Look at verse 26 in chapter 11. They were fighting the culture, the slide, the compromise. Even in Charles Haddon Spurgeon's day, he referred to it as the downgrade amongst the people of God. There's something in all of us we are prone to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. We need a shepherd. His name is Jesus. We think we're too big for the shepherd. You're going to wander. You're going to go over the hill. You're going to make a big mess of your life. There's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some tears. Some people might die. Others might end up going to hell. And that's a terrible thing. There's that it's the old nature that's within us. We're prone to wander. We are. The old prophet said it. We're prone to wander. Tim Rader, left to himself, apart from the Word of God, apart from being a student of the Scriptures, apart from being following the Good Shepherd, man, I wander. I start doing my own thing. I start believing some of the false science. I start believing some of the wicked philosophies. I start buying into the fashions of the world that do not honor God. I start spending all my time in something other than the things of God, the temporal things, the things that are not eternal. That becomes my whole life. And before I know it, I turned around three times and I've turned away from God. You don't want to do that. They had a bold lifestyle. Look at verse 26. And when he had found him, and when he had found Saul, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That term Christian is found three times in all of the Word of God. It's an earned title. It's misused in America. Not everybody here is a Christian. There's sometimes this preacher's not Christian. I don't lose my salvation. I'm born again. I belong to God. But Christian is an earned title. You say, man, how am I going to do that? How am I going to be that person that's known as being born again and a Bible thumper and happy and loving and a person of faith? How is that going to happen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Would you turn over there in closing? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It will never happen apart from the redemptive work of Christ. I cannot work up and maintain these things in my life apart from the power of God, the Spirit of God living within me. Apart from Tim Rader being a new creature, a new creation. Now, positionally, here's some theology, and I'll close with this. Positionally, I'm in Christ. My standing, I'm in Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at Tim Rader, because I was born again, he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. But I've not yet arrived. I'm not yet perfect. I'm still here on this earth. I still have this mortal body that I live in and the flesh that I deal with. So I progress. It's called progressive sanctification by reading the Word of God, by following the Good Shepherd, by being faithful in the things of God. Then I become more like Jesus and more like Jesus. And you and I ought to be more like Christ than we were last year at this time. And that happens because we're born into the family of God, and we have the engrafted Word of God in our lives. Verse 17, you know it. Stand with me, please. I'd like to read it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Understand this. I don't want to leave you with the wrong impression. Nobody on this earth is perfect. You get born again, you are now in Christ, in your standing, in your position. Your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're still a sinner, but now you're a sinner saved by grace. If you're wise, you're going to receive, you're going to study, you're going to receive the engrafted Word of God. You're going to love the things that God loves, and He's going to build you, and you can be Christian that very first day. You can start following Jesus that very first day and be a New Testament Christian. Not perfect, but growing in grace. You theologically, you understand your standing. You're in Christ. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You belong to God. And now the journey, you're in Christ and you're growing. Now you can just backslide and do your own thing. That's a rugged life. That is not a pretty picture. And it will never end a pretty picture, other than the fact that one soul goes to heaven, influence all kinds of other people away from God. But if you'll grow in grace, you can earn that title. By the world, they'll say, there's a Christian. What a compliment that would be. There's a Christian. I don't know what happened in his life. Gets up every Sunday morning now. Like clockwork. Loads the family up, goes to church. I see him going on Sunday night. Where are they? The Larsons, they're going to church again. Hey, they're not going to church this week. I wonder what's going on. Hey, they didn't go again this week. Must not be anything to it. What a relief. I don't have to go looking for God. That's sad. Let's be Christians. Do you represent Christ at the workplace? Do you represent Christ at school? Do you represent Christ among your loved ones, relatives? When your name is brought up, what do they say?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.